At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of, oh God, Octopussy.
I watched the second half of, oh my God, it's Octopussy.
And this
is the other half. Watch till you pussy.
All right.
How does it go?
Pussy! It's my octopussy and a pussy! I wanna get my pussy octopus! No, it's not like that at all. The name is completely different!
Oh, of the song?
The song for Octopussy.
It's not called Octopussy.
It's called All Time High.
Okay.
It sucks.
Oh, it's not good.
It's not a great song.
Oh, okay.
You didn't hear it in your credits or anything?
I can remember. I probably would have. I was expecting the song to be called Octopussy, so I was probably just like, oh,
no, there's no way you can get some singer to be like, write a song about octopus.
You sure can't get a bunch of actors to say Octopussy in a way that they want to like make it sound dramatic.
They sure can.
What's her name? She doesn't have another name other than Octopussy.
No, it's her name.
Yeah, it's her name. It's her actual name. Do you want to know who gave it to her?
Herself.
I'll tell you all about it. My half of the movie.
Your half of the movie. Yeah, because I don't know a whole lot about Octopussy in my half. I just know it's the name of the movie.
You don't know anything about Octopussy.
No. All I know is that she has a little thing, a little symbol that's an octopus.
That's right.
And it's got.
And it's a tattoo right above her pussy.
Yep.
No, it's not.
It's close, though.
Wait, really?
Wait, you never saw the tattoo? Did you never see a tattoo?
No, I never do.
So you just made up the tattoo part.
I did. I just was goofing. Wait, isn't it real? I truly didn't know this.
We'll get to that, Michael.
Oh, Lord.
We'll get to that. But first, we're going to talk
about... Can I say one other thing really quick about this movie? This is probably one of the better Indiana Jones movies I've ever seen.
I don't
know if it's in your half of the movie, but
you know what? It kind of does feel like Indiana Jones a little
bit. Doesn't it a little bit? Like, it feels a little bit less like a Bond movie and a bit more like a...
It's almost like Indiana Jones got popular around this time.
It did. And it up. The movie, Raiders had just come out like a couple years before this. And there's a full scene in my half of the movie that feels right out of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, this is really strange. Like, it doesn't feel like a Bond movie at all. And then when I looked it up, yeah, this was...
That's so wild. A
couple years
it's
after Raiders.
It's so interesting seeing how much they ape just the vibe of it. And I feel like at the moment you don't notice it because I think... At the time when you're watching this, you're probably like, oh, well, a lot of movies are like this, right? Because a lot of movies are influenced by this. But you don't really see that kind of like ripple unless you're going through like a franchise the entire way through and seeing
very
how it evolves.
Quickly. Yeah, for the first time.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And you can see the different themes and how they're reacting to the culture around it.
Yeah.
Because there's like not really any other movies that have been around this long as far as franchises, right?
I also wonder if it's a thing, like, I don't know what ages a lot of people watch these movies, but
that's true.
When you're younger, like, and you just sort of accept a movie. You don't think about you don't think about like, oh, well, what was popular around the same time?
No.
You know? It's its own thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
But us as grown adults who watch these movies with the idea of context, also looking back on when the movies came out, keeping that in mind, it's like, oh yeah, this is obviously just like some fucking guy watched Raiders and they're like, ah, let's make it a fucking, you know, indie movie.
That's cool though.
It is interesting.
I love that sort of thing of being able to be smart and be an adult and like know things.
It's great to be smart and an adult and know things.
Being a kid fucking sucks.
I hated being a kid.
Yeah, I always wanted to be
but
older.
I also hate paying taxes and having a job.
Yeah,
so
that sucks.
But
you know, I also like not having to go to be quiet at certain hours of the night because I was too loud.
Oh, you right now you can just be as loud as you want whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean,
your girlfriend doesn't get upset about that.
She's usually awake too. If that's the case,
that's fair.
My mom won't come in and be like, "Stop it, stop it, Ethan, be quiet."
That's true. That's
You're
true.
Keeping me up. Stop getting on.
Did that happen a lot?
Oh yeah, I'd wake up early, be loud enough to sneak up, because especially when you know back in the day when you had to get in the dial up and you had to turn on the internet.
Yeah,
and you saw like make a loud ass noise. I remember having to like cover my computer with like a mattress, a comforter. to muffle the sound, trying to make sure no one woke up while I was getting up early to play RuneScape.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I had a TV in my room, and like the volume like didn't really work very well, and so I remember sometimes would be turning it down. It was really late, and it ended up turning up really loud.
Oh shit!
And I remember at one point my dad like bursting into my room, going like, "Turn that damn thing down! Like it's really late. Go to sleep. Turn it off."
You're lucky. I never got a TV in my room.
Yeah, I mean, I was a pretty lucky guy. I had a TV in my room.
I got circumvented. I wasn't allowed to. I circumvented that by getting one of those, like, saving up enough money to get one of those, like, GameCube screens that you put on top of the GameCube. She was like $100 at the time.
Wow, you did it yourself. You bought it yourself.
I saved all my allowance money, got that fucking thing, and I played, and I distinctly remember this, playing James Bond, Nightfire.
Brought it back, baby.
Nightfire, and sitting at the edge of my bed in a horrible position. I don't even know. It was like on my, like chest, basically, like my neck straight up. Looking at this thing and turning the contrast and brightness so I could see the naked lady that was in the shower scene because I wanted to see boobies.
A naked lady. Yes. Well, 007, let's talk about
it. I realized I could just watch a Bond movie. There's tons of boobies all over that.
There's a lot of boobs in
this
movie.
Very quick second.
Just a little quick. They're like, they're there.
If you're looking for that nipple, I'm looking for that nipple. You can see it.
I like how it's like, it's not just enough to see the rest of the part of the boob. We have to be able to see the nipple.
You
that's
see nipple.
It doesn't count for some reason. Television, too. Like, certain animated TV shows, like, I remember when Drawn Together was, like, a show back in the day. In order to get away with, like, nudity sometimes, they would draw, like, boobs but without nipples, so it looked like you were looking at a tit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, they self-censored, so they were allowed to, like, get away with more because, you know, it's like, that's not an actor. They can just draw them however they want. So they can just draw them completely naked, but without any of the parts that need to be censored. And then, like, you know, if you're keeping it up for a couple of frames, you know, audiences watching are just going like, holy shit, I just saw a naked person.
Like Barbie and Ken, you know?
Like Barbie and Ken. Like naked, just like Barbie and Ken. Just like, well, we got right back to 007. We got right back off it again. Tell me a bit more about
anyway,
how this
so
movie
we start
opens.
Off with
wait,
that.
Wait, let me guess. So it's James Bond, and he's walking across the screen with a little,
something comes first.
Oh, is it a bunch of dots?
Yeah, it's a bunch of dots.
It's a bunch of dots, and they're sort of moving across, white dots on black, and then they're moving across the screen, and then we get a view of a man walking across the screen. One of the white dots follows that man, and we realize it's James Bond.
It's not just a white dot.
Well, not yet, right?
With a bullet.
Not yet.
The Bond is inside of a... a gun barrel.
Yeah, but not originally. At first, it's just a white dot, it transitions into a gun barrel.
No, the gun barrel's at the beginning. As soon as he comes over, like you get the white dots, and then the Bond comes in with the gun barrel.
I thought it was like a dot at first. He's in the dot, and then
he's in the dot, but the whole thing is a gun barrel.
Well, I thought it transitions into a gun barrel as he walks across the screen.
This is the craziest thing I ever argued about.
But this feels like a Mandela thing. Like, who's right?
I don't know.
We're right in half of them and
you know what?
In the other.
You know what, folks? We'll find out at the end of the episode when we rewatch the scene back.
We'll have to. Okay, anyway. So he walks across, turns to the camera, shoots us dead.
Yeah, we're dead.
Blood everywhere.
Okay, you got all those
right. The gun barrel shaking around.
Shaking around a little bit.
And then
dying.
It transitions into the
transitions
opening scene.
To the opening scene, which is a bunch of military vehicles moving in what looks like Cuba. Or some sort of Cuba. I don't. They ever really mention it, but it seems like Cuba. Everyone's speaking Spanish, so I assume it's Cuba. And the guy has a big cigar, and he's got a big beard.
Yeah, that sounds like
some Castro-looking guy.
Sounds like Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro. He's there. He's watching what looks like a horse race. Roger Moore's there. He actually moves in.
He's one of the horses.
He's making an ass of himself. So then he
That's a donkey.
Shut up. It kind of works. They're both the same and related. Fucking, well, actually, me over here for the joke. It's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
Anyway, he makes an ass of himself later.
You
because
made an ass of yourself.
Yeah. So the dictator,
not a dictator.
What?
He's a communist, like, leader. Like, he's not a dictator.
I'm pretty sure he's a dictator.
I don't think he was.
Fidel Castro?
Was Fidel Castro a
dictator? I'm 90% sure he was a dictator.
Let me look this up.
Look that up.
Was Fidel Castro.
Use Google AI mode for sure.
A dictator.
Anyway, the lady with him
His critics viewed him as a dictator.
There you go.
But his critics, I mean, you know, everyone's critics think they're a dictator.
Everyone's critics these days, so everyone viewed him as a dictator.
Yeah.
Maybe he was lawfully elected.
He and Che were both murdering psychopaths. They went on. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Anyway, look, he did a lot of good things for Cuba, but probably not in a lot of not right ways.
No, that's true.
Anyway, so The dictator man, who is not Fidel Castro, but is someone else, moves to give, this lady goes to give James his disguise because she's going to help him break in. I think she's a secret agent. And he gets a little pass that says, Louis Toro. And he looks at that and says, sounds like a lot of bull.
Oh my God. See, this is what's happening. This is where this fucking, like, made an ass of himself joke is coming from. Is like, you've been watching too many fucking Roger Moore movies and you've been making these fucking puns.
Well, then she's like, hold on, the disguise is not complete. And she puts a little mustache on his face. And he's like, thank you. And he goes and salutes a dude and walks right into the base with his secret little outfit.
Uh-huh.
He fucking hitmans over and
hitmans.
Goes into a big hangar where there's a big goofy ass laser. He puts a bomb on the underside of the laser and immediately gets captured and found out. And he sees the guy who he took the name from. He's like, oh, good name, huh? And then, so he gets captured immediately and gets taken away. And the spy
See,
lady...
See, doesn't this feel like an Indiana Jones thing?
So the lady drives off with the car with a trailer in the back. And the trailer in the back has a fake horse. It's obviously a fake horse in the back. It's ass. The ass of the fake horse. I want to say that's why a horse is ass. Anyway,
and it's shitting everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So she drives alongside the car that has captured James Bond and distracts the soldiers by being a little sexy lady. And she pulls her little skirt up. So you see her legs. And Bond's kind of like nodding at the guys like, hey, look over there.
Hey, take a look at that.
And they go, oh, that's pretty good. Just enough to get distracted where he starts beating them up. And they beats up all the people in the back. And then he jumps into their... Oh, no, he beats them up and then pulls their parachutes, which I don't know why they have parachutes on the ground. They have parachutes and they fly off the back.
Yeah, they have every contingency.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
So then he jumps in the back of her car and she drives a little forward and the front driver sees a sexy lady. And then they pull... I love this scene. She pulls a little farther ahead. You see Bond in the back of the fucking gun. And he just starts immediately points out and shoots their tires.
Nice.
It's Roger Moore. He's not going to kill them.
No.
And then they fucking crash. And he says, thanks, ma'am. I'll see you in Miami. And he gives her a little kiss on the cheek. He gets in the back of the trailer and the horse butt lifts up comedically onto like the top canvas. And then out comes a plane with folded wings and he pulls the wings out and he starts the plane and he starts taking off the plane outside the canvas and escapes.
Oh.
And he flies out a bunch of people who are trying to chase him and flies over them. They're all like, whoa, it was crazy. And these guys, they get a rocket and they do a heat-seeking rocket or like a homing missile or something. They shoot it and they shoot it at him. And Bond's just weaving around trying to shake this
thing. Trying to avoid
it. He can't shake it. So then he goes back to the hangar where he originally had.
Oh, it's going
to
follow him through the hangar?
Where he had the laser. And because I was thinking at this point, I'm like, well, they're going to obviously find the laser. So he failed his mission.
Yeah.
So he goes and he flies through the hangar and everyone's like, close the door. And they try closing the door and they close the door. Just too late for him to fly through.
Yeah.
And then the missile goes and blows up the entire hangar.
See, doesn't this feel a bit like that feels really
it
like
feels very
he's
James
in a fucking
Bond-y.
Plane, like, you know, and like he's getting a little bit like rough around the edges, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know. Man.
I think you're right. I agree with you. So then he flies up, blows everything, and there you go. He lands his plane at a gas station and some guy's like comes out and he's like, fill her up. And then starts the opening credits.
Octopussy!
No, it's all time high. All I wanted was a little distraction for an hour or two. And then there's a sleeping lady with a gun, silhouettes with women.
Are there any octopuses around?
No, there's no octopuses.
There's no tentacles. There's
women just spinning around. You know, it's classic. It's kind of a standard one, but there's a gun that shoots a laser projection of 07 across like a lady's body.
Oh.
The funniest thing,
those are the boobs.
I honestly have not. I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
One of these days, I'm
007
sure they will.
In front of the boobs.
Yeah.
They got to do that at some point.
One of these days, they're going to do it.
Maybe whenever Amazon reboots.
Yeah, that'll be
it. They fucking bought that franchise. They haven't done anything with it.
Well, they're fucking waiting on it. They want to make sure that it's not going to be shit.
Yeah, like
if there's one thing that we know about Amazon, you know, stuff that they create, it's all quality.
Oh yeah,
like all that money they spent on the Rings of Power show.
Rings of Power, fucking quality banger,
absolute quality,
banger.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so they're gonna do the same thing with 007, you know.
I get the Rings of Power show mixed up in my head with the Hobbit series because I'm just like, oh, those are the bad Lord of the Rings all the time.
They're both the bad Lord of the Rings.
I was like, oh, is that little annoying Hobbit with that guy who doesn't talk? I'm like, wait, that's from the Rings of Power, not the Hobbit. The Hobbit has those dwarves who sing the Misty Mountain song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is a great song. Probably the only good thing that came out of that. Anyway, the funniest thing to me is during this montage, like they have like a standee, almost like a pop-up of Roger Moore's like, not... I don't want to say his silhouette because it's like a line art drawing of him pop up, and then they're all just like, woo! It's just so goofy looking.
Wait, what are they doing? They're like
it's just like
impressed by him.
They kind of just act like crazy, like a little bit like, ooh. Oh. I mean, no one really reacts to him, but the movie seems to be asking like, hey, audience, be impressed by like Roger Moore's here,
right? He's back
appearing.
Remember when he wanted to quit?
Yeah,
he's back again.
He's back again. Yeah. And then we get the song All Time High, and it's kind of over. And then I'm like, well, that was kind of an underwhelming run-of-the-mill Bond sequence.
Yeah.
For something with Octopussy, I expected more octopuses. All I'm saying.
I agree. I get a lot of octopuses in my half.
I was going to say, there's actually octopuses a lot in the film. But
just
like,
not in the opening.
Not in the opening.
Well, I will say the opening is always, I believe, trying to set up like who... I mean, the last opening had nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, that's true. So now we get to the meat of the movie. We see a clown running away from a circus.
Ah, yes. The Octopussy Circus.
I had no idea this is the Octopussy Circus. Are you serious?
This is the Octopussy Circus.
So she owns a circus.
She owns a circus.
I had no idea because I just see a clown running away. And I'm like, what are we doing with this movie?
It gets bad.
What are we? Yeah, okay. So the last movie we quite liked.
We liked the last movie a lot. It was the highest rated one I've given so far.
This may be the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, I agree.
Because... it doesn't have the budget anymore, which no. I heard they did cut budget for this, I believe, quite a bit.
You can feel it.
You could feel it. And it still is goofy, but not in like a charming way anymore, because now it's not like, here's over-the-top goofy effects.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's some mid effects and goofy Roger Moore and goofy situations.
And it's also, in my opinion, aspiring to be another kind of movie that it isn't.
Yeah. No, I think that's accurate.
And like... this is one of the things I was going to mention about previous, one of our previous Watch Do You Can't series, the Hellraiser series, when after a while they were like, I don't know, let's do fucking Hellraiser in space. Like they just start throwing like shit at the wall.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what it's starting to feel like. It's like, it's less like a 007 movie and more like another kind of movie that does it better. You know? So I don't know.
Well, Moonraker was kind of that too, but at least that one had like crazy effects and it like felt like there was,
yeah, the budget was there.
The budget was there.
Jaws
was there.
Jaws. There's nobody like that in this movie.
No one liked Jaws.
No.
Anyway, so the clown's escaping a circus. A man's chasing him. I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
The clown looks fucking terrified. He's running through the forest. It's a goofy man who looks like he's straight from the 80s. Like, if you picture a skinny man, a man from the 80s, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Got it. Skinny man from the 80s.
He's chasing him, but he's trying to hide from him in the forest, but he hits his balloon bursts, and they let him know where the location is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs into the guy's twin. There's two of them. Two of them chase the clown.
Yeah, they're knife throwers.
Yeah, so the clown dodges one knife, but then he gets hit by a second one and falls into like a next to a bridge and falls in the water.
His makeup's gonna come off.
I know. And then you're like, you thought, but then the thing that's weird is he says, you think the clown is dead, but then you see a shot of him getting out of the water.
Weird.
Yeah. Unless I'm tripping out, but like, I swear.
Maybe they like forgot to cut. Like, maybe the guy was supposed to be dead.
We need to watch that again, and we need to watch the beginning opening sequence again, because, yeah.
Do you
want to
just do it right now?
Yeah, let's just do it right now.
Let's do this right now, because this is going to bother me multiple levels. What was I fucking saying?
No, it's a fucking thing immediately.
No, it isn't. It's for like a couple of frames.
It's like one or two frames. It's basically a circle the whole time with the bare gun barrel. Agree to disagree.
I think we're both right.
All right, fine. I'll take that.
Okay.
We're both basically right. Okay, and then what was the part with the clown? Dude.
I love how it like, doesn't let go of the balloon.
Oh, no. I got him.
All right. So he's dead.
Okay. Yeah. He looks dead, right? Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, oh, shit, that guy's dead. Looks pretty dead. Right?
Yeah.
Those looking twins. Okay. So then he comes up here. And look at him.
He's climbing out.
He's getting up. Oh, wait.
You're such a fucking idiot. I was even looking up like goofs, like you can clearly see the clown getting out of the water, like seeing if there was going to be on your side. But apparently that's going to be a plot, isn't it? It's going to be part of the plot, isn't it? Oh man. I was like, bro, you have to like take out the part of the episode where I say that Fidel Castro wasn't a dictator. This is way more embarrassing.
Anyway, so he's not dead.
No,
he comes out of the water.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Plot hole. I thought he died. He got stabbed in the back.
He gets out of the water and then he arrives at a fancy British house of the ambassador. He breaks into the ambassador's house.
This is literally the scene after.
I should just read my fucking notes more.
He should be dead. I'm sure he was going to die, but you see him climbing out of the water.
He breaks in and fucking falls through the window.
Uh-huh.
And then the Fabergé egg falls over in front of the ambassador, and then the clown dies.
Got it. And now he's dead.
Now he's dead.
And then you see him get up. It's crazy.
Dusts off himself and says, oh, that was crazy. Uh-huh. See you later.
Later. That's a Fabergé egg.
It's a Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
So it's a real one, or is it? Anyway, so we get a first-person view of Bond with a fedora, and he sees a new lady in...
he's wearing a fedora.
Well, he's not. He's in his hand. Mm. And he sees a new lady, and he says, ooh, Moneypenny, you're looking more beautiful every day. And then it's like, no, I'm Moneypenny. That's some new lady we got here. And he's like, I'm sorry.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry. So then...
I'm sorry. They like to recast every once in a while.
Yeah. Except Moneypenny. She's still alive and kicking.
And M.
Well, they go into M and it's a different M.
Oh, is it a different M now?
M is there, but he's a different M.
Oh.
I believe so. Unless I'm tripping out. I'm pretty sure it's a different M.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's M, too.
Okay, I mean, I believe you. You're never wrong.
Why would you believe me? Why would you trust anything I said?
I was going to throw you this one, but fine, no. You're right. Yeah, it's M.
I throw myself under the bus. So, but there's an art collector there, and they're talking about basically like, what do you know about Fabergé eggs? He's like, oh, you know, they're crazy.
Whatever's on Wikipedia.
Whatever's on Wikipedia, basically.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, they have a near-perfect forgery, and... we need to figure out who's selling it because we think it may be the Russians trying to like raise currency or something. I don't really know how that works.
The Russian government is trying to raise currency by selling forgeries of Fabergé eggs.
I do not understand this plot.
Sure.
I do not. I don't know if why you know. But it got kind of rough. So they say like, yeah, Operation Trove 007, you're taking it over after 009 was killed.
Oh, yeah. He disappeared.
Yeah, he was a clown. Just clown around.
Oh, he was a clown.
He was the clown. So they're like,
embarrassing is that to like be like a special agent British intelligence dressed as a clown and
also
die?
Just scared the whole time.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be scared. You're 007.
Yeah. You're 009.
006, excuse me. I did not say you're 00.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bond is like, all right, I'll go with the art seller to the auction. He seems very bored by this, but whatever. So then we cut to like Russian leaders talking
dictators.
About dictators maybe talking about nuclear disarmament with NATO, and they're like, we should maybe do that. But then this guy named Orlov
hates that idea.
He's like, no, we have better forces than NATO. We should invade. We should take over like Hungary and all this stuff next to us. We should do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Total victory in 5 days against any possible defense scenario. It was promised 5 day wars. It was doing. I feel like that never happens almost. Usually it's only 5 days if they lose really quickly. Like, so then they're like, no, we can't do that. NATO will counter with nukes. They're like, no. Orville's like, no, the West is divided. This is the perfect time to strike. And then the other general's like, I don't know. I don't see any reason to risk war. We're doing okay. And then the prime minister's like, socialism will be achieved peacefully, everyone. Mm. We're not going to do this. But then Orlov is like, I'm going to fucking hate you anyway. And he gets a letter. And the letter's like, come meet him. And he tells the person who sent him the letter, or the delivered the letter, I guess, like, hey, I'm going to meet you in a second here. So he goes and meets this guy at a Russian art exhibit, like museum of art thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Lenkin, I believe his name is, says, I don't know if he comes in your half at all. Probably
who?
Not. Lenkin?
Lenkin. What's he look like?
He's got a guy with bald guy with glasses, I think.
I don't think so. Is he just a Russian guy?
He's just a Russian guy.
Yeah, well, I feel like he's been in the last couple of movies. He's sort of like the dude that runs the KGB, basically.
I don't know. This guy's doing some shady stuff. He seems to be like, we got terrible news. The reproduction of the fake eggs has been stolen.
Mm.
The egg was lost in the river, they say. And he's like, don't worry, we'll make a replacement. But he's like, no, but we need it in 2 days. It's going to auction.
Got it.
And Orlov is like, oh, okay, I'll inform my people in England to give it back, or like try to find a way to get it. So we cut to Blon, the art guy, and they keep saying like this egg is like property of a lady.
Who is it?
I don't know. Who could it be?
Could be any lady.
Could be any lady. So then it's...
I feel like I'd be pretty embarrassed to say the name of the lady too.
I mean, they never say her name in my half of the movie.
They never do? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So then it's 150K people are going to bid on. That's the starting of the egg. And the art guy's like, it'll never go for like 30K. Like 30 or 300K. 300K is
30K?
30K.
That's pretty low for a Fabergé egg.
300K. He's like, if it goes any higher than that, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So they start bidding, and it eventually goes up to 400K. And Bond's like, I'm going to fucking bid on this. So I'm going to say...
Bond.
425K. And the art dealer's like,
420.
You can't do that. 425.
Oh.
Sorry, it's not that cool.
Damn.
So then
and someone
like,
says 69,000.
6,900,000.
Yeah.
What are you, Elon Musk over here bidding on something?
Yeah, why not? Things are working out for him.
Yeah, I guess so. So see how he wants to see how bad he wants it. So
he keeps bidding it up.
So the other guy bids 450K. He's got a lady with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, that's a lady. She's probably interested in this. So he bids it up to 475K, and he brings it up to £500,000, and he looks at it. He's like, bring that egg to me, Bond says.
He looks cracks at it open.
And he's like, He kind of puts it down here, and he picks it back up, and he's like, all right. He puts it back. He's like, I'm not going to bid on this. He doesn't bid on it again.
Mm.
But and he's like, all right. So the other person bots it at £500 million.
That's crazy. It's a lot of pounds.
It's a lot of pounds. So heavy. So he says he
so
was
heavy.
Back. No,
he's that's funny.
So he goes back and talks to the art guy and is like, hey, actually I got the original. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, I switched out the right in front of everyone at the auction.
Damn.
The fake one. And he's like, oh, okay. So he'll complain. It's like not legitimate if he's the fake guy, right? Like he'll want the real egg, but
right.
He's going to complain if not. And that'll smoke him out, but I'm going to follow him anyway. So,
and that pretty lady.
Exactly. And so he's like, you better sign a chit for that egg before you leave the building. Oh, this is M, by the way, he's talking to, because
okay,
that's government
God.
Property.
That's right.
So he's like, okay. So then he goes to India where, I think that guy is, his name is Kamal Khan. And he goes to there and he sees a guy doing some snake charming, playing a flute, and then he starts playing the Bond theme.
Oh my God.
And Bond walks up. This is the part where I'm like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
He walks
I like
up
this.
And he's an agent and he's like, oh, this is a terrible disguise. I hate snakes. And he like kicks the snake and like leaves.
What?
He doesn't kick the snake. He kicks the bag or
the basket.
The basket with the snake in it.
Still kind of a dick move.
True. So then he's like, all right, I'll get you a place. We got a cool place for you to stay. We'll hang out here and we'll try to figure out who Kamal Khan is. I love that's called Kamal Khan, which is like Kamala Khan, who's Miss Marvel, which is very funny to me.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Same
yeah.
name. So then he's like a terrible cover. So he goes to the hotel, has a casino attached to it. He talks to a man with the goofiest looking hair and he says, I'll enjoy my stay here, I'm sure, as he sees all the pretty lady here. Goofy hair.
Okay.
He goes up to his room. They already unpacked his luggage. He's very thankful for that. The lady's like, do you need anything else?
He
he's like, maybe later tonight.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh, okay.
Mm.
He then sees the late.
I'd like for you to charm my snake.
Oh, God. Said he sees a fancy white lady at the auction, the one who was with Mr. Khan, I believe, there. She arrives with a flag with an octopus on it on her boat.
Ba-dum.
So then... Kamal Khan likes to play backgammon, so he goes and watches him play backgammon, and he's playing with this guy named,
like in the casino.
Yeah, he's playing with a guy named a colonel. I know, I didn't know you could play backgammon. Like
that's what
casino,
I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, they're playing it that way.
Interesting.
And they see a guy who they say Colonel is. I'm like, this guy looks like Colonel Sanders. And Kamal is just
maybe it is.
Is just wrecking his shit.
Yeah,
Losing like £500,000. And he's like,
does he have a lazy eye?
No.
Is he bunky?
He's not bunky. Oh, no,
man.
Colonel Bunky.
Colonel Bunky and the Contessa.
No, not from last movie.
Oh, man.
But then he eventually basically is like, your luck's too good, Khan. I got to bow out. I can't bet 500 million pounds. But then Bond pops in. He's like, I will.
I'm going to do that
I'll do that. Yeah. So he comes and sits down and he's like, all right, let's double it. And so he rolls and Khan wins, but Bond realizes that Khan's dice are loaded. Yeah. So then he's like, all right, how about this? I'll double you one more time. I lost, but I'll double you one more time.
But with my dice.
And he says like, okay. He says, well, because I just, I have the money with me. Actually, I have my security is this. And he puts the egg right out.
The Fabergé egg. Yeah.
He's like, oh shit. And he says, all right, well, let's double it. And he says, this is for 200K rupees. Excuse me. He says, we'll do it. And he says, but because I am the guest, I'm going to use your dice. And he grabs his dice, puts it in the thing, and rolls it. And of course, he gets the roll he needs,
right,
which is double six, I believe. And he says, all right, you can make that out to me. I prefer cash, though. And he's like, all right, give Mr. Bond his money. So he gives him the money. And then Khan leans over to him and is like, you better spend that money real quick.
Okay, so I'm going to fucking kill
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So then we get to see this. I don't know this guy's name. I just call him Scary Guy in a Turban. He's just
okay,
tall.
Yeah. It's a guy. Yeah, I called him Sword Guy because he always seems to have a giant sword.
He does not have a sword in my half. He's just a very tall guy with a turban on.
What should we call him? I feel weird calling him Scary Turban Guy. I don't think we should be doing that.
That doesn't feel right, but also, no one else in the movie is wearing a turban. He is. And he's tall.
I don't want to say Scary Turban Guy. Well, let's call him something different. Let's maybe call him something like...
All right, what's something else about his personality?
He's got a beard.
There's a lot of guys with beard in this movie.
He's tall. He's
tall guy? Tall henchman man.
Tall henchman. It's kind of with a turban.
Tall turban henchman.
Turban henchman, yeah. I just don't want to call him scary.
Okay. He's kind of scary, though.
He is very imposing.
Because he grabs the dice...
And he crushes them in his hands.
He crushes them in his hands. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That guy rocks. Like, genuinely.
Is that not scary?
It sucks that they don't give him a name. He's like genuinely one of my favorite henchmen.
He is pretty cool.
He's up there with Jaws, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like him.
He's
definitely
cool.
He stands out like Jaws does, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's so scaly.
He's very scaly. But not because he has a turban.
Not because he has a turban.
Right, Ethan?
Not scared of that. Nope.
No.
No, not
exactly.
Scared of that. I think that's very cool of him.
That's actually really cool that he has a turban.
Really
I'd be
cool.
scared if he didn't have one.
I don't know if I trust him as much. He's very cool. So then he gets Bond.
I'm gonna look up what his name is.
Yeah,
let
you
me
should
see.
Look up if he probably does have a character name. Like they probably gave him one.
Yeah, they just didn't say it.
Yeah, it. He doesn't really talk to anyone.
He doesn't really say
I don't
much.
I think he says anything. Kind of like Jaws.
Kind of like
Maybe
Jaws.
Just like henchmen just shut up and do their work. You know?
Yeah, they did give him a name, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, well you find that out. He gives him the money. And
oh, he died recently.
Oh no, R.I.P. He gives him. Bond's a cool guy. He gives someone the guy. Like, there's like two guys helping him. The guy we saw earlier, Vijay, and some other guy. I don't know his name, but he gives him a bunch of money. He's like, "Here you go. Thanks for helping me." So then he goes outside to leave and gets in the car with Vijay. Like, kind of like they have these small like moped cars. Kind of, they're very tiny. You probably see a lot in India, but immediately cuts to these guys looking at him as they get in the car. They're loading up a shotgun. And I'm like, well, they didn't wait very long for him to spend his money. And Vijay's driving and Bond sees these guys behind him with a shotgun. He says, hey, we got company. And he says, no problem. This is a company car. Mm. And I was like, this is awesome. He puts up a fucking, he starts doing a wheelie and just drives off really fast. It's like, obviously this is modified with
like a bunch of
shit.
Like, yeah, Q absolutely souped it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was wrong. He isn't dead. He just has a photo that looks like he's dead because it's his name and like.
Oh my god! It does look like he's dead.
Yeah, it's like his name and like a photo of him and the date.
Well, what's the actor's name?
His name is Kabir Bedi.
Okay.
And the character's name, I believe, is Gobinda.
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 Okay.
Gobinda. So let's just call him Scary Man.
But wait, that's a scary. What about Turban Man?
Turban Man. Let's call him. I don't want to call him Turban Man.
You didn't want to call him Scary Man earlier.
Let's call him. I didn't want to call him Scary Turban Man.
Well, we got to pick one.
I'm going to call him Gobinda.
I love Gobinda.
Gobinda. And his last name is Bendy.
The good henchman.
The good henchman. The scariest henchman in the world. East. But not because of the fact that he... as a Turfan.
No, you're right. Not because of
not
that.
Not because of that. He speaks fluent Hindi, English, and Italian.
Cool.
He recently competed a 200-episode Italian radio drama for the country's most listened-to radio stations.
He's still alive and doing stuff,
He's
huh?
still alive and kicking. He's crazy.
Good for that guy.
This guy is genuinely also very handsome.
Also cool that he's actually an Indian guy.
Yeah, honestly?
Because
honestly,
Mr. Khan is not an Indian guy.
No, wait, he isn't?
No, he's not.
Oh, he's wearing dark face?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm going to look this up.
He's a French dude, I believe. But you can look it up again to confirm.
So this guy has been in 134 fucking movies.
Whoa.
This guy. Yeah, he's one of India's most famous international actors.
Damn.
Career in Bollywood and Hollywood and Europe.
Hell yeah. Good
yeah.
for that guy.
This guy rocks. And yeah, you're right. This guy is very white. This other guy.
Oh, yeah, Khan? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He is very white.
Yeah.
So.
Good for him.
That's not right. Good for him. Scary brown face guy. That's what we're going to call him.
Scary racist guy.
Yeah. I guess scary brown face guy doesn't
sound
good.
He has two stars on Hollywood Walk of Fame. This
two?
Scary...
How can he get two?
I don't know. He does.
How do you get two? I don't know. You could
well,
do that.
One for winning his white face, one for his dark face.
They put ellipses brown face under it. He was so good.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to I'm enough about. I'm not gonna look through IMDb anymore.
That was pretty fun. Anyway, so we get a fucking car chase, and it's funny because Vijay is talking about how he used to. Why are you laughing at that?
I don't know.
He's talking about how.
I think it's because he's referred to as Vijay in my half of the movie.
I'm putting a French enunciation.
I
on
like
it.
Vijay.
Listen, we're talking about octopussy.
Dude. Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
His name is Vijay.
Exactly.
He's called Octopus.
Exactly.
Oh my god, I totally didn't even put that together.
Up.
Yeah.
So anyway, they just talk about how he like is a member of a pro club of tennis. So at some point he pulls out a tennis club, starts beating some guys off of them. Can't say anything.
Son of a bitch. You know, it's like I would I wish you could say I wasn't expecting the octopusy episode to be this way, but honestly,
of course it's gonna be this way. Whatever. They do a fucking car chase. He punches a bunch
of jerking a bunch of guys off.
Well, he does whack people with tennis. There's this goofy thing where like he's hitting people with a tennis racket. Very similar to the Moonraker section where all these people are like the crow does like a double take or whatever the fucking animal was. Where these guys, the audience of watching this crazy car chase, and they're seeing this go dunk dunk like a tennis ball being knocked back and forth, and they're looking back and forth.
No, they sped up
the
film.
Yeah, but anyway, they do a fucking crazy jump off the back of a camel with the car.
He jumps off the back of the camel with the car.
There's a ramp on top of the camel, and they jump off of a car with it. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's kind of cool. So then they're shooting into the street, and it seems like the public does not care that they're fucking shooting shotguns in the middle of the street. They're just like, whatever. And then Bond, quote unquote, blends into the audience by getting a lei around him. I don't believe it's a lei, but that's just I do not know the Indian term for it, but it's basically a necklace full of flowers. And, starts blending in. By blending in, he walks across hot coals.
He hates monkey brains. Happen.
So then there's a guy in a bed of nails, and he sees some guys fighting, and the guy in the bed of nails gets up. He's like, what the fuck? And then Bond throws the guy in the bed of nails, and he gets fucking killed because he's on
because
the bed of
nails.
And the guy who was on the bed of nails, he's like, hey, get off my bed. Bond, there's a guy swallowing a sword. Bond pulls the sword out. I'm just like,
this is literally the chase scene in Aladdin.
Also, did you guys mix up the circus with India? Like, what? Like, just walked into the circus part of India over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he kicks over a walk. It lights a bunch of stuff on fire. He throws money. Then eventually they escape again on the car. Then he just starts throwing money behind it. And he says, easy come, easy go. He starts throwing all the money. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of crowd of people come. And he uses that crowd of people to basically create a barrier between them as they run away. And they go behind a secret poster that raises up. And then they break through the poster. And then another poster comes down.
Oh, that's clever.
And it fills it. And the bad guys come. They look around. They can't find it.
Where is it?
And then Bond says, certainly pays to advertise.
Oh, my Lord. Ethan's so fucking pleased with himself.
So then they turn a bird cage and they open a secret passage, and we find Q mostly upset. He's like, this is not the place I need to be working. It's my, I need to maintain my quality work, but they don't give me enough budget. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to play the same game.
Woo!
What's Q making? And I did not prepare for this as much as Mike does, but no. I will do in the future. But I will try to do this.
Okay. I appreciate it. I was surprising you with it because I didn't watch it.
Don't worry. I have the quotes all here.
Here we go. Okay. So what's the invention based off of what he says? Yes.
I think there's only one, actually.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
We're going to do that anyway.
What does he say?
So he says, having trouble keeping it up, Q?
I don't even fucking know what that can mean. What the fuck? I mean, my guess is it has to be about somebody like holding something up, like a heavy weight or something. And he's like, it's too heavy, so he has to like drop it. But that doesn't make a lot of sense. What is it? I give up. It's a crushing thing. Something that crushes something.
No, you're kind of close, though. Okay, cool. I give you like half credit because
thank you.
What you're,
that is so fucking ridiculous.
I know, sorry to go. Yeah. So what happens is he's because right, he was mentioning he does not like working in these conditions. He's not producing his best work. Mm-hmm. He presses a button.
Oh, and the door doesn't open all the way.
No.
Oh, okay.
And this guy is holding on to like a rope, and the rope like extends up, like shoots up with the guy on it. But then it folds over and breaks, and then that's when he says,
"Trouble, okay."
So it was an erection joke.
I figured I knew that. Yeah.
In case you didn't get it. I don't remember the other parts, so fortunately, that's the end.
That's fine. But that was what's Q inventing? This is fun, right?
It's fun. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll make sure to write that down next time.
All right. Sweet.
Anyway, so he introduces that they have a homing device. They could put they're putting it in the fake egg that they have, or the real egg, I guess. And then they have he gives them a pen that dissolves any sort of metal with some sort of acid.
Mm-hmm. Like the ink does.
Yeah, they give him a cool watch so he could track the egg. Mm. And now this part, okay. So this part, I don't know what Roger Moore thought about this part.
Probably didn't like it.
Because the next thing we see is he gets distracted. He goes over and he sees a camera. And he sees that on the back, he has a TV on the back. And he's like, oh, a camera with the TV hooked up to a TV. And then he sees a lady sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's working on the desk. And he gets the camera and you see Q. And he's like, James, what are you doing? And he turns around. And you see now that James is zooming in and out on her cleavage like a fucking cartoon going, wee, wee, wee. And Q's like, what are you doing? We don't have time for this adolescent stuff. And he's just like, I'm just going to walk away. And I'm like, what is going on? This is so goofy.
That is fucking stupid.
It's like,
he's like a teenager, like a horny teenager.
He's like 50 something, and he's just like, my bazoongas. Like, it's insane. What are we doing here?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
After the last
one. Because, I feel like James would be the kind of guy that just go up and, have a conversation with her, not,
be
a
weird
fucking
comment. Not just be, from a distance, like a pervert, incel.
Yeah, exactly.
Being like, look at those bazoongas.
It's hot because she can't tell what I'm doing. It's creepy.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he goes and meets somewhere fancy. Like, that's just something of someone who has no game, right?
He's so pissed about this. He was getting off the subject. He's right back on it.
It feels so out of place.
It does. It doesn't feel like a James Bond thing.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It feels like something that, that
Austin Powers would do.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And he'd be like, yeah, baby. Show me those kitties.
Meow, baby. That's my favorite Austin Powers quote.
I've seen Austin Powers.
Meow, baby.
I've seen Austin Powers since I was 12.
It shows.
Yeah, man.
Are you aroused, baby?
I'm feeling pretty Stanley, baby.
Oh, act properly.
You large idiot. Of course I wouldn't do that.
Large idiot.
All right.
All right. enough of that. Yeah, baby.
So he goes, I don't know. He meets some fucking fancy place, and he goes there, and he's like,
fucking fancy place.
He goes to some fancy place, and they're like, sure, your table's ready. He's like, I didn't order a table. And he's like, he's like, your guests are ready. He's like, I don't know, fucking guests. He's like, just come here.
Sure.
He's like, oh, it's the lady from earlier. The fuck, I don't even remember her name. Does she have a name?
Octopussy.
No, Magda. Miss Magda is what they call her.
I don't think I see her in my half of the movie.
Maybe you don't. Miss Magda's there, and she's like, oh, I don't mind meeting with you. You're one of Kamal's prettiest and less lethal friends. Mm. And she's like,
oh, is she like blonde with long hair? Okay, Okay.
You must see her. So then.
She's a magician.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, he's like, you paid a hefty price for that. I heard the price of eggs is going up, but isn't this a little high?
Oh.
And I was like, oh no, something's never changed. Something's never changed.
Yeah.
And she's like, Kamal has an offer for you. The trade of the egg for your life. And he's like, I don't know about that. And then she's like, anyway, I'm going to take a picture of you. It's for my scrapbook. I like to collect memories. Mm. Is this ever coming to play later?
Never.
Okay. So then, let's get on with making some more memories, and then they fucking smash at like his in a hotel.
Yeah.
And she's out of the drink and says, like, I need a refilling. He's like, ooh. Oh, of wine, yes. And then he goes and tries to find the wine. He's like, oh, we're out of wine. And she says, oh, that's okay. We can make this a together cup. And she turns over to pour, and he sees a tattoo on her back of a little octopus.
Oh, there you go.
He says, what is that? And she looks at him dead in the eyes, and she says,
that's my little octopussy.
And Bond looks, Roger Moore's face looks like his penis shriveled back inside of his body from hearing this. You know?
He's just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
But he does.
Of course.
She's like down, and she starts kissing those. Like, no more follow-up.
That's my little octopus.
No more follow-up questions, and they just smash.
I wonder if anyone, like any ladies, have ever gotten this tattoo. Because there's lady, like Bond fans out there, you know?
For sure, but like, I don't know, man. It's also, by the way, it looks like a temporary ass tattoo.
Oh, I mean, there's no way the actor got the tattoo.
No, but it looks so obviously fake. Looks like they didn't even like paint it. Yeah. It looks like
tattoo?
Legitimately, like it's too colorful. Like it doesn't even look like a.
Oh, it's colorful. I was expecting like a line drawing or something.
No, it's like colored and everything, like a temporary tattoo vibe.
Mm.
Like it would just peel off at any moment.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
That'd be better. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so then what are we calling him? Turban Man? Turban Guy?
The henchman.
The henchman guy. We'll just call him the main henchman guy.
Yeah, there's no other henchman.
There's no other real main henchman. So no. The main henchman guy shows up, and he arrives where they're staying. Bond's sleeping alone because she's getting dressed and actually goes to steal the egg, which is very obvious.
Uh-huh.
And he wakes up, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you were leaving so early. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry you're awake, but, you know. I'll have to leave and get out of here. So she ties her dress around the balcony and she gives him, she says, I don't know how to say goodbye. And he says, actions speak louder than words. She gives him a kiss.
Ooh.
And then she jumps out, falls out the window and rolls out of her dress and appears in her underwear with the egg. And I think Khan is in the car, and then she gets in the car and drives off.
Oh.
And then, the main henchman knocks out Bond.
Whoa.
And then we cut to a rowing ship with Khan. He's ordering a bunch of ladies.
Rowing.
Yeah. He arrives at this like big castle temple looking place.
Yeah. It's like an island.
It's an island. It's very cool. And
inhabited purely by women.
Yes. And he brings this egg to a lady whose face we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "We recovered it." And she's like, "Who is it?" He's an Englishman. He likes women and preferably loaded dice. His name is James Bond. And she's feeding an octopus in a tank.
Yeah.
She says, bring him to me. And he's like, I feel like we should just get rid of him. Like, he seems like
let's
a bat.
Kill him.
Let's just kill him. And she's like, no, bring him to me. And he's like, well, I guess this meeting's over because there's no use changing your mind.
Octopussy?
Nope, never says that. Don't know who this lady is. But she doesn't have blonde hair. She's got dark hair, I believe.
She has dark hair, yes.
So then Khan heads back to the hotel. Bond's putting on some clothes, and the henchman comes in. He says, hey, dinner's at 8 o'clock, and they lock him inside. Mm. And we cut to him at 8 o'clock coming out, and he goes to dinner, and Miss Magda's already there. And Khan is there. He's threatening to give him a psychedelic compound to make him talk. He's like, this is the most sophisticated way of doing getting information out of you.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, well, that comes with permanent brain damage. And he's like, yes, of course. But, you know, that's just part
but who
of
cares?
The, who cares? Who cares about that? Anyway, I'm giving you our finest delicacy. Here it is. They pull it off, and it's a stuffed sheep's head with the eyeball still in it. You know, just like monkey brains.
Just like monkey brains.
But that's weird because Raiders doesn't have that scene. That's,
no.
That's actually in Temple of Doom.
That's Temple of Doom,
which came out after this, I
believe. Yes, yes. So, you know, people were just racist in different ways at different times, you know?
You know? It all was the same. They're like, your food is weird. And, you know, Khan eats the eyeballs right away. And then...
The delicacy.
And then they they're like, all right, well, see you tomorrow. And I'm like, are they not going to fucking torture him? I guess they'll do it later.
Yeah. They're too full.
Miss Magda, he walks Miss Magda, and the henchmen go, and he's like, you want a nightcap? And then the henchman pops up and kind of was like, you know, like Encino Man, shakes his head and is like, no, you can't do that. Bond's like, all right. So he goes to his room, and he's like,
aren't the hench people like ladies? Oh, the
big henchman.
Dimension.
The but main henchman. See, so I should have said Big Scary Turban Man. Mike, you're getting confused.
Did you see any of the other ladies on this island that are like henchwomen?
I think we're back on the old castle.
Oh,
we're back
okay.
At like an old castle or something. Okay. We're back in an old hotel. I don't think it's the same one.
You don't see any of the other ladies?
No,
okay,
not
okay.
At this point.
Sorry, continue.
So then he offers a nightcap to the main henchman, and he's just like, oh, okay, you don't want it. That's fine. So then Bond uses some acid to melt the bars and escapes.
Right, from his pen.
Yeah, he sees Magda doing some dressing stuff, but somehow does not try to... Go bang
immediately
her.
Fuck her.
Yeah, he's like, well, I already did that, I guess, so I have the willpower to leave.
Yeah.
But then he sneaks into her balcony because it's the best place to hide because a bunch of lights come on. Russians land on top of the building, and it's a scary Russian for the first part of the movie.
Ba-bum,
what's his name again? Orlov. Orlov.
Orlov.
He's there. I almost forgot about him. He tries to sneak through the building, or Bond tries to sneak through the building while trailing the Russian guy who has the egg. And then Magda actually notices him leaving, but doesn't say anything. I think.
Right, she's cool.
He's tracking the egg with his little watch into the basement, which is like a little dungeon area. He then listens in because there's a microphone on it, and they're talking about making eggs for the Russian guy, and they're saying like, "Oh, I need you to get a genuine one and get a genuine jewelry so you can do the fake one, so I can get the genuine one." It's basically a trade thing they're doing.
Switch them out.
Yeah, and Magda starts up her hairdryer in a completely different room and somehow blocks out all sound, which I don't understand. So Bond walks up closer to the closed door they're in and starts listening. And they're like, precise timing is essential. Karl Marx's stunt will happen tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means.
All will be explained.
I'm sure it will. The Russian guy says... Oh, that Bond guy, we have to kill him right away. He's enough trouble. Also, these fakes are also annoying. And so he smashes the egg, the one that was, I think, the real one that Bond had, and broke that with the microphone and everything inside.
Oh, my
and
God.
Khan sees the microphone and takes
it.
M's going to be pissed. Khan takes the microphone. And then we got the main henchman actually comes out and sees Bond. Does not see Bond. But Bond sees main henchman and hides in a meat locker with a bunch of dead people in there. There's a couple of dead people in there. He hides in there, and the main henchman looks in there and is like, I don't trust this meat seller, and locks it.
Bond it's full of dead people.
Yeah, those are dead bodies. So then Khan realizes he escaped and like, find Bond. And they try to find him, but they can't find him.
Mm.
And Bond actually pretends to be a body. And waits in the freezer until the morning, and they actually try to throw all the bodies
shocked
out.
Shocked he wouldn't, like, freeze to death.
I know, right? I think it's just a cold... I think it's just, like, a refrigerator, more so than, like, a freezer. So he probably could live through that.
What? Why am sucks. I... Who cares?
Who cares?
Who
whatever.
Cares? Yeah, why am I bringing it up?
So then I'm like, okay, so they're going to put his body... They're going to, like, take his body somewhere, and he's going to get out, and, like and he's
amongst all the corpses?
Yeah, the corpses or whatever. Yeah. They literally walk out in the carriage, like... I don't know, maybe 50 feet away from the big
castle. And
then
just like dump
them. They dump him in a, or they're going to, they dump one body in this big pile of just bones. And I'm like, this is so close to where you're living. Like, what are you doing?
And then one of them gets up.
Well, then the goofiest thing happens. The guy's about to ready to pick up Bond in his little like dead body
sure.
Sack. And he just goes, and rips open the bag and just pops out, goes, ah, and scares the guys who are doing it. But then everyone starts shooting at him. And Khan's like, let the sport commence, because I guess they're going to go on a hunt. Mm. So they have packing a bunch of elephants and yes. they're ready to go on a hunt.
Elephant chase.
Yeah, so they're going to go hunting.
Yeah.
So then they go and try to hunt Bond.
Yes.
And Bond has all these shenanigans. Very Indiana Jones runs into a bunch of spider webs. Mm-hmm. There's a tiger. The tiger appears to corner Bond. And Bond just goes, sit! And the cat's like, all right, just sit. And he walks away.
Bond's a cat person.
And I'm like, this is so fucking goofy.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's goofy without any of the like impressive anything, except that first scene was kind of cool. But like so far, it's just like, this is just...
Yeah.
Goofy. And like,
again, this feels like something Indy would do, right? Where he'd like be in front of like an animal and then he'd just say something like out of desperation and the animal would listen to him and then he'd be like, oh, that was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bond seems like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, okay. They eventually corner Bond. He gets down in like the jungle and hides. But the snake gets on and he's like,
I hate snakes.
I was thinking I legitimately thought he was going to say that, but now I'm like, oh, this is a different movie. No, instead what Bond says is, hiss off.
Oh, God.
Under his breath, and the snake leaves.
Not a fan.
While he's trying to hide. And then he sees that he's right next to someone on an elephant, so he unties the elephant saddle, and he runs, and the guy tries to shoot him, but he falls off the edge because he shoots the gun and falls off.
Right.
And then Bond swings from... Oh, God.
Uh-oh. Ethan just read something you didn't like. His head is in his hands.
So Bond's trying to escape, and he eventually swings from a vine to another vine, making the Tarzan
no!
sound.
No!
Yes, he does.
No!
Making the Tarzan sound.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. I feel like this is where you're like, oh, no, they really are just giving up.
Oh, God.
He finds a leech on
him. Says it? He's making the Tarzan sound?
He is. He's making the Tarzan. Who else are you making the Tarzan sound?
I thought maybe they added the sound effect later.
Well, no, they did. But okay. I mean, it's implied that it's him making it.
Oh, no. I don't like this.
He finds a leech on him. He burns it off. He gets it off. And then he gets chased by an alligator. I'm like, what is happening? It's like a cartoon.
It does feel like George of the Jungle.
It does. He then sees a tourist boat. And then he goes to the tourist boat. He's like, hey, help me. And they're like, oh, hey, what's up, man? He's like, are you part of our tour? And he's like, no, I'm part of the economy tour.
Yep, exactly.
And then he gets away. And I believe that's the end of my
half.
It
is the end
of
your
movie.
So where I'm introduced to the blue ringed octopus, which has some kind of poison in it, and is owned by Octopussy. And I didn't write down the quote because Bond sounds like he acts like he's heard this name before.
Octopussy?
Yeah, he's like, oh yes, I've heard of Octopussy.
The blue ringed octopus is actually deadly. It's a real thing.
Yes, it is a real thing.
Oh,
and so he's told that the blue ringed octopus and Octopussy live on an island that no man is allowed on. And so how is Bond going to get on that island, Ethan?
Swimming.
Yes. But how is he going to get on there without being detected?
He finds a dolphin and then talks to it. And then he takes the dolphin over.
Dolphin, I need you to kill the president.
Pretty much.
No. Now, remember, I want to say maybe like the third or fourth movie we saw. Bond, he's able to break into a base by swimming under the water, but having like a bird on his head. Remember,
oh,
I brought this up.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I remember saying at the time, like, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, say do it again.
No, it gets worse.
What?
So they cut to, you know, a long shot of the island, and in the foreground we see a very fake looking alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Or crocodile? Is it crocodile or alligator?
I don't fucking know.
It's a crocodile.
Maybe a crocodile.
I don't know. So
I don't know what they have in India.
It's a crocodile. I'm trying to think of what we have. I don't know. Whatever. A crocodile. I don't know. So it like swims in the foreground. It's so fake looking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, he's obviously in that thing. Like, you know, it's obviously a fake model looking thing. But I'm like, how is he in there? I'm thinking like maybe it's the same as the bird. Like it's like a little hat thing. Okay. So then we get a shot of a straight shot of the front of the crocodile. And it's like mouth opens up.
Uh-huh.
And then inside the mouth is a perfectly dry like Roger Moore, and he's poking his little head out the mouth and just going like looking around, just like, oh, nobody sees me. And then he like lowers his head back into the belly of the crocodile and the mouth just closes again. And I'm like, how does this thing work? Like, it's obviously smaller than he is. Like, how is he hiding in it? Like, is it just it, like the mechanics of this thing doesn't make any fucking sense to me, and it truly looks stupid. It looks like something out of like a Austin Powers movie or something. It is so stupid looking. But you know what? It works. So why am I questioning it?
Yeah, it works fine. Don't question Q's brilliant way.
No, you're right. Q is behind all of this. Are you looking it up?
I had to look it up. It's pretty bad.
It doesn't look awful.
It's pretty bad.
Doesn't make any sense.
It looks like the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, the models from the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
James Bond is now on the island. It's completely inhabited by women. And he looks into, he's all these women by this like pool. And one of the women is a naked woman swimming nude.
Yeah.
And she puts on a little octopus robe. And so he's like, oh, that must be Octopussy. So he sort of follows her, but she's waiting for him. She has all these like cameras everywhere and sees him like sneaking in. And so when he opens the door, she says, I've been waiting for you, Mr. Bond. And then she turns around and it is a woman. I don't know what this reveal was supposed to be. They didn't show her face earlier. It's just some lady.
And they teased her a little earlier, right? So
yeah. So she says that she doesn't know anything about jewelry smuggling. She doesn't know anything, but she says, do you know Mr. Dexter Smythe?
Nope.
She says, it was someone that you were supposed to arrest.
Nope.
She says, you gave Dexter the opportunity to either to go with you or I don't know, run and then you'll kill him or something like that. Okay. Like go peacefully or he'll die.
Uh-huh.
And then he ended up killing himself.
Okay.
And then she says, Dexter Smythe was my father.
Oh, I thought she was going to say lover, but okay.
Father. Okay. So yeah, I don't know who Dexter Smythe is.
That's a new guy.
It felt very strange for bringing this character up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And it seems that Bond was responsible for his death.
Sure, why not?
But then she's like, thank you for giving him an honorable alternative. And I'm like, I don't know if that was like
the honorable alternative
of having him take his own life rather than face consequences of his actions.
Huh.
I don't know, man. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
No.
And then I wrote down all the henchwomen here are dressed like Mrs. Incredible. Like they're wearing like red, like spandex outfits with like little icons on their chests.
Yeah.
And then Kamal Khan pays Octopussy a visit. And I wrote down, wait a minute. I thought no men were allowed here. The fuck is Kamal Khan doing here?
He's special for some reason.
So he says that he is going to take care of Bond. He's like, I know Bond isn't dead yet, but we're going to take care of him. And he's not realizing the Bond is actually there. And then she says, I'd like for you to meet a friend of mine. And then they're like, oh, fuck, you fucking tricked me.
I know you. Bah. Yeah.
So
it's confirmed Dexter Smythe's never been in anything before.
What the fuck did she bring this guy up about then?
He's only shown in like a little portrait. That's it.
Who cares? So anyway, fucking Khan leaves. Now, this is one of the worst lines of the whole fucking movie.
Really?
All right.
Boy.
So she says, they're talking about her name. And she says, you know what my name is, right? So my dad was really an octopuses. And he's the one that called me Octopussy.
What?
Yes. Yes. It's a pet name given to her by
a
her
pet
father.
Name?
Yes.
Come here, I'm not an octopussy.
I know.
I mean, maybe it was so old it didn't mean what it meant back then.
Ethan, come on. What are you talking about?
See when pussy was invented as a name like that.
I mean, what's new pussycat is very much.
Yeah, but that means a kitty cat.
Yeah, but come on. We know what he's. No, I know it was an old saying because back in the 1920s, there was a song called My Girl's Pussy. Have you heard about this song?
Yes, I have heard about this.
There
song.
You go. So we know that pussy meant two things back in the day.
I can't believe I just Googled when was it called pussy. This is a term of endearment for girls and women.
No.
Dating back to the 16th century.
Sure.
But then right underneath it says female genitalia.
Yeah,
so.
Not a shock. So Kamal is looking for people to kill James Bond. But they're like, do not harm Octopussy. You're not supposed to harm her, but you do need to kill James Bond. And he shows them a photo of what Bond looks like. And it looks like a photo from an image from the movie Dr. No. But played by Roger Moore. Like it almost looks like Roger Moore's dressed like Sean Connery when he was in Dr. No.
Okay.
And then we meet like one of the coolest dudes in the whole world. It's a guy who has an extendable like saw blade that he can just sort of throw wherever he wants. It looks cool as fuck. Really cool weapon. It's like a spinning saw blade that he can like toss and like cut people with. Mm-hmm. So that's how he's going to kill James Bond. So Octopussy talks more about her dad. This is where I was really picking up on like, man, all these women are obsessed with their fucking dead dads.
Yeah.
And she.
The only way a woman could be strong is if a male figure is in her life.
Or not in her life.
Oh!
Exactly.
But she was at one point.
Exactly. So she says that she offers the woman here an island of sisterhood. She says, you know, this is where women can come and just be themselves and not have to worry about masculine energy, basically. And I'm like, you're buying that.
You go, queen.
So while on the island, James Bond comes across a Octopussy Circus flyer, which has the Mark's like address from earlier. Remember you said?
Oh, yeah. The Mark's, whatever.
Limp Bizkit? Mark's Limp Bizkit?
Mark's Limp Bizkit, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, Mark's Limp Bizkit. This is where the Octopussy Circus is going to be, and he sort of pockets it. And then Octopussy says that tomorrow she's got to go to Europe for business, but she would like for him to stay for the week and wait for her return. And he says, you know, he's like, we are nothing alike. And she says, well, I'm not working for any country, but no one's trying to kill me. You know, you have a price on your head. You know, you're a paid assassin. I'm not. And then he kisses her forcefully. And she says, no, no. And then he says, well, we are very much alike. And then they bang.
Okay.
And her headboard looks like a giant octopus.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
So, I do like all the octopus imagery.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. So so while James is on this island of only women, there is people looking on from the shore, watching to make sure James is okay. So originally it's Q, but then
this does feel like Dr. No.
Kind of, yeah. Dr. No.
But they were watching to see if he was okay. No, it was a different one. I think it might have been Thunderball.
Maybe. Either way. Yeah. It does feel like that. So Q was originally on the shore making sure Bond is okay, but then VJ comes by and he's like, hey, I'll make sure he's okay. So then they switch. Mm-hmm. So now VJ is like monitoring to make sure, or Vijay, as you say, is monitoring to make sure that Bond is going to be okay. And then all of a sudden, the guy with the extendable blade hitman shows up and fucking murders him.
Whoa.
So Vijay is dead. Yeah. He kills that Vijay.
Man.
So
Vijay Slayer, we call him.
Vijay Slayer, exactly. He shaved that Vijay down. So then that guy sneaks onto the island, and there's this really cool shot where he really liked that one.
Stupid.
Yeah. So
stupid.
There's this really cool shot where like Bond and Octopus are like making out, and then they sort of walk out of frame. And for, I want to say maybe like 7 frames, you see a spooky, mysterious shadow in the background, but it's only there for so long. So it's really like nerve wracking. You're like, oh shit, like that guy that was on the, like from the shore has now gotten onto the island and he's like right in the bedroom with them. It's very concerning. And so then Octopussy and James Bond lay in bed, and then the fucking blade comes down for them. The guy with the extendable blade like comes down for them, about to kill them. And Bond's like, move out of the way, and like pushes her out of the way. And then, you know, he fights the guy. He fucking fights him.
Oh.
Yeah, I wrote down a very bad jump cut happens here. So it's just like in the previous movie, it sounds like. And so he tosses one guy into an aquarium that has a poisonous octopus. And the poisonous octopus clutches onto the guy's face, killing him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like face huggers him, which is pretty cool.
Damn. That's cool.
Yeah. So then the Octopus Army, which is what I'm referring to the ladies.
That's a cool name.
Shows up and they start shooting non-lethal darts at the intruders. And Bond tosses Chainsaw Guy into a gator-infested waters. And James Bond ends up also falling into the gator-infested waters. The chainsaw guy dies, and Octopussy looks down to see if like James Bond comes back up again, but he doesn't. And so we're all supposed to suspect that James Bond is dead. But we remember, James Bond has a goofy little fucking gator boat.
Was it in with the gator pond the whole time?
I think it was.
Okay, he just left it there.
I'm
parked among my people.
This truly doesn't make any sense to me, but it worked. And so he ends up coming back to the mainland, finding Q and Vijay's body. And so they're like, we got to go to East Berlin and go to Karl Marx. Limp Bizkit in East Berlin, where 009 disappeared. We got to go there to go to the Octopussy Circus. This is fucking bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, it's Stant. Karl Marx Stant.
Yeah, Karl Marx Stant. So Bond is assuming the identity of... none of this fucking matters. What am I fucking talking about? So he goes to the fucking circus. He watches the circus. There's two knife throwers.
Uh-huh. Twins.
The twins. And
how's the circus look? Is it crazy?
It's honestly cool as fuck. Yeah, I was watching the knife throwers and I'm just like, how do they do this?
Yeah.
I don't know how they do this.
I don't know how
they
fucking do this.
They're fucking
like
spinning. One of the guys is spinning and throwing him.
This is just like when Diamonds Are Forever, like seeing the circus circus.
It did
like,
make me want to go to a circus. Like, yeah. Genuinely, I was watching this. I'm like, I could go for a circus.
Yeah. Right, I could go for a circus. Right, I could now. Go it's for been a circus. While.
Because I'm like, look at these fucking people easily entertained people. And I'm watching it. I'm like, you know what? It's actually pretty cool. I go to this.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right.
So Bond watches. Octopussy and Kamal are there. Bond uses a fat guy to sneak around without anyone seeing him.
Nice.
So this like big fat guy just like gets in front of him. And Bond's just like hutching behind him so he can walk around without anyone noticing. He also steals a workman's jacket so that he can sneak around during the day and sort of follow the circus around just to like see what's going on. Okay.
Got it.
So it is revealed that Octopussy has a Romanov star.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Romanovs, if people don't know, were... Mm-hmm. You know the movie Anastasia?
Yeah.
It's like just like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
So they've got a Romanov star and the real one, a real one. And they load it into what they're doing with the... In order to, like, sneak the jewels and all that stuff, here's what they do. They take all of the jewelry, the real jewelry, and they put it in, like, a chest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Balling. Then they put the chest in a cannon... Mm-hmm. That is used in the the guy gets into a cannon and is launched out of it at the circus, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, so they put that in the base of the cannon and they like seal it up so they can like cross borders, people can like investigate, they'll never find this shit because it's literally like welded inside of the cannon. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what they do.
Checked in.
Okay, and that's what Octopussy's plan is. Mm-hmm. But she is being double crossed by what's his name. The guy, the bad guy.
Khan.
Khan, right. What he's doing is he's taking that train car that has the cannon in it.
Okay.
And he's replacing the jewels with a bomb.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a lot different.
And he's taking the jewels.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's taking the jewels and he's putting a bomb in there.
He's the real bad guy.
He's a real bad guy. And then he's giving the jewels over to the Russian dude, the bad Russian dude, Russian dude from earlier, Olav.
Yeah. I still don't know how any of this pertains to Olav wanting to invade other countries.
Do you want me to tell you?
Okay.
I'll tell you right now because they go into it later, but I'm just going to tell you right now because it sounds like you're very interested.
Well,
and
I'm
curious
just like, I'm just like, how the fuck does this, like, I've been watching these fucking egg shenanigans and I'm like, how does this
egg shenanigans indeed?
So much. They're so expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let's crack this sucker open.
Do it.
So here's what's going on.
Okay.
They're going to put a bomb in the cannon. Okay. Now, the next place that they are going to be performing the circus is going to be at a U.S. airbase.
Okay.
Okay. So this bomb, when it goes off, will look just like a normal, like, American megaton bomb that would exist in an airbase. So here's what the plan is. He's going to take the he's going to blow up, like... He's going to blow up the cannon in the U.S. airbase and make it look like it was an accident. Then everyone will agree that they need to not have bombs. They need to, what is it, the deferment or whatever?
Disarmament.
Disarmament. They're going to do the disarmament. And now, with nobody having any weaponry, he will have all the weaponry.
He will have the weaponry, okay.
Yeah, that's his plan.
That's stupid as fuck.
It is stupid as fuck.
Okay.
But that's the plan, okay?
Sure.
All right. And now Bond discovers all this because he's under the train car. And as he's under the train car ends up going and he's while he's under it. And it feels very Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's the beginning where I'm just like, you know, because he's sort of dirty. He's like working undercover. He's wearing costumes.
Hates snakes.
And he looks very concerned. Yes. But here's the thing. Octopus, he's completely in the dark about all this. She just thinks that they're smuggling like jewels. She has no idea about the bombs. Okay. So Bond learns about all this. And so Khan's leaving, Olav is leaving. The only person now who's in there with the bomb and all that stuff is one of the knife throwers.
Yeah.
And so Bond fights the knife thrower. He then changes out his clothes for the knife thrower's clothes, and he hides the knife thrower in the cannon.
Oh, okay. So he knocks out the knife thrower.
He kills him.
Okay.
He's dead. Jules are loaded up into a car with the Russian guy, Olav. This is where Bond interrogates Olav, so he now knows what's going on, the disarmament and everything like that. And then Olav escapes, and Bond is under fire.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I told you my whole plans. Now I leave.
Now I'm out of here. So Bond, and but here's the thing. It's like, they are, like, Olav has, like, all this, like, all the men. So they just start fucking unloading, like, onto, like, Bond. So he just has to run away. Like, he doesn't need, there's no way he can, like, fight off all these people, basically. Yeah. And so he's running, and he ends up getting into the car where, Olav's car that had the jewels. Mm-hmm. He gets into the car and just drives off. He drives on two wheels again to avoid gunfire. He's doing all this crazy shit in the car. And then at one point he drives over these blades that pop his tires.
Okay.
And then luckily he's right near train tracks. And because, he doesn't have tires anymore, his like rims can attach to the train tracks.
Oh man, I always thought about doing something like that.
And now it's working. And so he's driving on the train tracks.
I don't think it would ever work in real life.
No,
but it's
there's
cool.
No fucking way.
But it's
way.
So cool.
It is very cool. So he's actually, no, it's not cool. It looks goofy as fuck. Aww. So he's driving on the train tracks in the car right behind the train that has the bomb on it. Uh-huh. And he needs to stop that bomb. Uh-huh. So he ends up jumping from his car onto the train just as another train passes, destroying the fucking car that he was just on, and sending the car flying into a pond or something.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, that car is retrieved by Russian government, and they find the jewels in the trunk. Oh. And they identify that this is the car that is owned by Olav. So they know sums up with fucking Olav.
Oh.
They're like, sums up with that guy. We got to find him immediately, and we got to stop whatever he's up
to. Yeah.
So Bond climbs into the train. And he immediately hides in a gorilla suit.
Wait, because it's a circus? So they have a gorilla suit?
They have a gorilla suit. Okay. So he gets in the gorilla suit and nobody sees him. He is completely undetectable in this fucking gorilla
classic
suit.
Classic stealth move.
And he ends up taking... So he killed one of the knife throwers, but obviously there's twins. So he takes the other knife thrower's knife for protection. Also while all this is happening... Olav is gunned down by the Russian government.
Okay.
And
so they found him out.
They figured him out. And he's like, today I'm a villain, but tomorrow I'll be a hero. And then the train enters the American sector, and Khan sets the bomb timer for like 3.5 hours, basically, okay, giving him just enough time for it to arrive at the airbase, get into the circus, and more importantly, for Khan to end the knife thrower to escape. Oh, and also the henchman man.
Oh, all
right?
Yeah.
Is all this making sense?
Around, yeah,
so those are the three guys that are working together right
now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So Bond makes a noise in the gorilla suit, and henchman man hears the noise. Mm-hmm. And so he immediately turns around. He's got this big ass fucking sword, and he fucking slashes at the gorilla suit. And I don't know how he did this, but Bond was able to get out of the gorilla suit and sneak up to the top of the fucking train. Oh. This shot did look cool where, like, henchman man cuts the gorilla's head off, and behind the gorilla's head, you see Bond just, like, getting out of the train, like, out of the top of the train. But it doesn't make any fucking sense.
No,
it's absolutely
sense.
Stupid.
No.
So now he's on top of the train, and it's really cool seeing the stuntman jump from car to car on the train. I wrote down, so Indiana Jones. He fights off dude with the big sword, the henchman man, yep, on the roof of the train, and the knife thrower.
Very Indiana Jones.
Very Indiana Jones. And then Bond is tossed off the train with the knife thrower, and the knife thrower is, of course, taking revenge because he's like, you're dressed like my brother. You must have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But Bond kills the knife thrower with his own knife.
Damn, that's messed up.
And then we cut to a parade where the parade is going through the American Air Force Base.
Uh-huh.
And it's leading everyone to the circus, and there's a fucking bear, and I'm like, this shit rocks. And we have a real bear.
Nice.
And they have 1 hour left until the bomb goes off. So Bond originally tries to hitchhike, and he eventually gets in a Beetle with a bunch of obnoxious Germans. And he gets to a payphone, but someone takes the payphone. So he, right before he can get into the payphone, so he just steals that person's car.
Oh, okay.
And then the cops immediately chase him. Khan and his henchmen make a run for it, and they get in the car. And originally, their car doesn't start. They're
what
like,
are we,
oh,
"What are we doing in this movie now?
What do you want me to? What do you want me to fucking tell you?"
No, you're telling me the right point, but I'm just asking. Like at this point, I'm just like, okay, and we keep going, and we keep going.
Here's what needs to happen. Bond needs to stop that bomb from going off.
Right.
And Khan and his henchmen need to escape before the bomb goes off.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the plan.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So Bond is going through all this fucking shit to get to the Air Force base. He's driving really fast. He even drives by Khan and the henchmen, and they're just like, let him fucking go. Like there's no way he can stop that bomb in time. Okay. And so he gets to the Air Force base. Everyone thinks he's a fucking like villain.
Yeah.
Because he's driving super fast and he stole this fucking car and he's acting like a crazy person. So everyone in the Air Force base is like, we need to stop this man. And so in order to hide, he dresses like a clown.
Oh.
And so you just see Roger Moore dressed like a fucking clown, running around concerned and scared, with big fucking shoes.
Was there like a clown outfit in the car or something? Like, why did he pick clown?
Because he's wearing makeup, so no one will notice him.
But like, does he have that just hanging out?
No. He's near the circus, so he goes into one of the trailers, gets in a clown outfit, and then runs around. Sure. But I'm like, man, he's got like 10 minutes. To like until this bomb goes off. I don't know if you have enough time to like put the makeup on, get the nose on.
Time, yeah.
But he does it. And it's just like, but this is really the lowest of the low. Fucking James Bond should not be dressed like a fucking clown running around trying to disarm a bomb that's hidden inside of a fucking.
But you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the movie called Octopussy.
That is very true. So he's got 90 seconds left. And he runs up to the American generals and he's like, there's a fucking bomb in there. And they're like, they don't believe him at first. But then, of course, they have to eventually believe him, and he's the only one that can disarm it. And so, just imagine James Bond
as a clown.
Dressed like a clown with gloves on, trying to disarm a bomb.
Woo.
And I'm like, take the gloves off! Like, I don't know, whatever. So he ends up defusing the bomb with 1 second left, and Octopussy's fucking pissed. And so Octopussy and the circus of women sneak into Khan's palace. And using their feminine wiles to distract the guards and using their circus wiles are able to jump over like, walls and stuff like that. And she pulls a gun on Khan and he lies and he says he didn't know anything about the bomb. And he says,
Octopussy. Octopussy.
And I'm like, this actor trying so hard to sound like serious.
It's a normal word.
Yeah. So then his henchman shows up, sees what's going on outside, sees all the women, the women doing all this stuff. And so all the men and the women fight. They're all fighting each other. Octopussy is like beaten up by Khan and she's trying to beat Khan up. And then Bond and Q show up in a giant hot air balloon that has the British flag on the hot air balloon.
Oh my God, what is this movie?
I know.
What are we doing here?
And then Bond jumps out of the hot air balloon to save Octopussy. And Ethan is not even paying attention.
No, I'm just like, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I'm legitimately looking up like, is this the second to last Roger Moore movie? Because it feels like at this point you're like, I really got to get out of here.
He's trying to save Octopussy. He shoots people while riding on a banister, which reminds me of that scene in Casino Royale where that lady Mata is like on the banister, you know, and she shoots people on it. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, that shit rocked. So Octopussy's knocked out and loaded onto a horse. And so Khan and the henchmen take the horse to a plane, and Bond takes one of the other horses and chases the plane, and he hangs on to the side of the plane as it lifts off. It looks like Mission Impossible. Straight up looks like the new Mission Impossible movie. Okay. And Khan tries to shake him off. He's like spinning the plane around and diving. And so Bond pulls the wires out of one of the plane's engines. And so one of the plane's engines goes out. And the engine stops midair. And so Khan tells his henchman, like, hey, fucking stop him. And the henchman's like, out there? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, okay. So he goes out there to try to stop him. And Bond, it like holds an antenna and like launches it at the henchman's fucking face. And it hits him in the fucking face. And the henchman just flies off the fucking plane, dies. He's dead now. The henchman is dead. So now he's not scary anymore.
He's not scary anymore.
So then Bond gets into the plane, unties Octopussy, and of course Khan sees all this. So Khan tries to like land the plane in as bumpy a way as possible. And just before it hits the ground, James Bond and Octopussy jump out of the plane, and then because the plane landed so roughly and it's really close to like a cliff, Khan flies off of the cliff and fucking blows up. He's dead. Khan is dead because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And Octopussy is hanging off the side of the cliff, and then Bond has to pull her off the side of the cliff, and she's fine. And then Bond has a broken leg, and Octopussy wishes he was all better, and then suddenly he's finally healed and he jumps on top of her and she says, "Oh, James," and the movie ends. And that's Octopussy.
Wait, his leg heals?
Yeah. He's just like, "All right, I feel better now."
Dude, what the
movie's bad.
What the fuck is this? Dude, this is so much worse than I expected.
I know. I was expecting pretty bad from Octopussy. This is pretty bad.
This is abysmal, man. What are we doing here? Especially after the last movie, which we were like, oh, this is pretty solid. Like, we seem to be getting all the themes. They're just like, fuck it. Same director, too.
Really?
Same director. Yeah, the same director did, like, a couple of these movies in a row.
Explains the jump cuts and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really want to go into too many of the details, but, like, when James Bond shows up in the hot air balloon and all the women are fighting, it is, like... It's clearly a set. It's like the worst looking hot air balloon. I'm so like, what are we? Why is Q here?
They cut the budget huge in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's shocking that they keep doing this. Like, is it just to pay Roger Moore more money? Like, I don't know why they do it.
Because there's a recession, dude.
I didn't realize. Oh, yeah, that would do it.
They just don't have the same amount of money, man.
Yeah. That makes sense.
They don't have the same funds.
I will say the plane scene was awesome. I like the plane scene.
They had a good plane scene earlier, too. Like, I feel like that's all they had the budget for. Plane scene might be slightly easier to do than most other ones because it's just like, it's the air.
Yeah.
You can kind of fake it a little more. You can, like.
No, some of this stuff, you could tell when it wasn't on a plane. When it was on a plane, the wide shots on the plane look cool.
Okay.
They look cool.
Okay.
My opinion. But yeah, I don't know. It's fine.
Nah, it's bad, dude.
It's bad. So how many bullet holes you give it?
This is 1.5, man.
1.5.
It's pretty bad. It's boring. It's cheesy. It doesn't have anything going for it. Like, I still don't quite know what they were doing with the jewelry stuff.
Well, Octopussy was laundering the jewelry or whatever.
That's it, right? It just seems so complicated for just like we're laundering the jewelry.
But then they replaced the jewelry with a bomb.
And
so
then
Olav's plan worked.
That was the whole thing. They just at some point were going to replace the jewelry with a bomb. And then he was going to take over the world.
I don't know how he was going to do that if disarmament existed, too.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's such a thin, goofy-ass plot where they just jump around.
Bad.
It's bad, man.
I'd probably give it a 1.5 now that you've described it more.
I'd give 1.5. It's awful, dude. Yeah. It's so bad.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and just every... I think the thing is like his corny one-liners are funny sometimes to me. To me.
To you.
To me. They're funny.
Yeah. Can't
not,
save it.
Not in this movie, though.
Not in this movie.
They're not funny in this movie.
Yeah, they're not.
Because everything around it is just like such a house of straw.
It just doesn't feel like a James Bond movie. And
no.
I think ultimately that's what I don't like about it. Yeah.
I mean, even like... I mean, Moonraker didn't really feel like a James Bond movie either.
That's true.
In a lot of ways. But there was something about it that at least was like impressive, right? Like there was an
Jaws
was in it.
I mean, this did have a really cool henchman too, I guess.
It did have a really cool henchman, but like he really did. Like he really did.
We don't even know his name.
No.
He doesn't have a cool name.
No, he doesn't have a cool name. We looked
you wanted to call him Scary Turban Man.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
just
you
me.
Did.
Just me.
I didn't want to do that.
No, you didn't want to do it. I did.
From
I was
the beginning.
Like, let's do it. Let's do it. Right on there. And then you looked up his real name. We forgot it immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Betty.
Betty.
His last name is Betty.
Betty.
Guys, is your name Betty? Email us. Email theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky and a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show no matter what it says, even if you are a Scary Turban Man. So, Ethan, now comes the choice.
Yes. Do we watch till we can't?
Two more.
Well, I'm looking at these next two that are coming up.
Don't do that!
Why?
I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Are we not allowed to do that?
I don't know. I don't think so. But
I feel like, well,
the
thing is, I have to put the schedule out. I have to schedule everything
out. That's true.
I kind of want to know, man.
Yeah.
I got to know these next two episodes, especially.
Especially?
Especially this next one. I gotta know.
Yeah, you're right.
I gotta know what's going on because it gets kind
of
weird.
I keep hearing a lot of good things about this next one.
I don't know if you'll hear good things. I don't know if you're thinking the same next one I'm thinking.
Oh, maybe not.
But
is it the?
Well, it'll be paired together, right? So we'll watch them both probably at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
I, guess we're going to do it.
I guess we got to do it.
I will say, this is definitely the hardest decision we've had to make
so far.
This
is the hardest one because, I mean, it sucks because the last movie was, I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. Yeah. I'm enjoying this. But this movie's so bad, man.
Was your half bad too? Like, it wasn't just me like describing my half of the plot.
It was bad. Okay, yeah. It was just everything it didn't feel cohesive.
Yeah, I agree with that.
At the same time. That's true. It didn't mesh well. It just felt very disjointed and odd, and it seemed like Roger Moore was having fun, and I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
It seemed like a bad time.
I agree with you. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's fucking watch more.
Let's keep going.
Let's watch some Roger Moore, these fucking movies.
Love that. Don't con me anymore.
Good night, everybody. Con!
5 is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we've talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.